You know, everybody, if you took our advice, you had a great Thanksgiving because you went to Joseph's Finest Meats and got a Yorkie turkey, fresh, never frozen. Betty and I did that. There's no other way to go. But now it's time for Christmas. The time now is to make stock because I serve on Christmas dinner. It's always Cass onion soup. And the quality of this soup starts with a visit to Joseph's Finest Meats. I just was there the other day. Joseph's Finest Meats, USDA prime, dry-aged beef, homemade sausage. Excellent sausage. We got a couple pounds the other day. And only the finest meats. 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago, Illinois. On Addison and Nordica. Call Joseph's Finest Meats, 773-736-3766 and place your Christmas order. And here's a pro tip from Jeff. Check out the smoked bacon and the maple sausage. Perfect for your Christmas morning breakfast. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. Proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way Podcast. A family tradition since 1977. Turns out I'm really good at killing people, Obama reportedly declared to aides. According to one estimate, the strikes Obama authorized killed an estimate 3,797 people. But the Democrats pretend now that they're shocked and surprised as China and Iran develop their foothold in our hemisphere and as Americans, American families, keep bearing their children from drug poisoning and drug overdose. Now, for me, personally, I don't want President Trump to send young Americans, the age of my sons, into a land invasion of Venezuela. I'd much rather this be done by air, by drone, the way Obama did it. I know the Democrats are hypocritical. They're not going to be upset about it. But I just think we should at least let Trump follow the Obama policy. Shoot him from the air. Yeah, I know it's tough and I know it's terrible. And I'm sure that liberal Democrats will be upset with me, but I don't want our people killed. And I think of my friend, Gary McCarthy, former Chicago police officer, superintendent, who lost his daughter to fentanyl. And many other people in Chicago and elsewhere that I've talked to, that you've talked to, we've all talked to, and that we know. And they've cried and they've sobbed as their children were laid to rest, poisoned by the drug lords. As far as I'm concerned, you give drugs poison to our children, I want to take you out. I guess some argument that Venezuela is not producing the fentanyl that China is producing. But to me, a dead child is a dead child. An American child dead from poisoning is a story that I don't want to let go, just like I won't let go of the burning of Bethany McGee, the same thing. There's certain things that are good and just, and there's certain things that are unjust. And you have to draw a line. A man burner does not deserve our mercy. And narco-terrorists do not deserve our mercy. Put it in your mind. Think about it. Chew on it. As you're going to sleep tonight, think about that. They want your kids dead. They're trying to kill them. Would you stand by and let it happen? It's not impacting just some hypothetical land. It's impacting America and impacting Chicago. There's a block called O Block, the most violent block in the city, in the violent city of Chicago. And down there is a man named Pastor Corey Brooks, who was trying to do some good, to build a community center, to get the kids off the street, to provide them counseling and support, to provide them mentorship and love. And our guest today on the Chicago Way is that pastor, Corey Brooks. He's with us as he walks across America. Like, walk, Pastor, walk. And Jeff Carlin here is here as always, my friend and co-host, executive producer, WGN Radio. And I'm John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. We're only $50 a year, less than a dollar a week, gives you two brand new columns from me and other columns from top writers like Dan Prof, James Benakis, Corey Franklin, and many others. And where are you as Democrats try to protect the drug traffickers of Venezuela, as the judge in Cook County sits happy in her probation, doing no time at all after stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from a Tuskegee Airman? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way. Absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Jeff Carlin, I got to tell you something about the Chicago Way. I found the perfect story that epitomizes it. It's not old John Cass columns, it's something new. I read about it on CWB Chicago, and I don't know where we'd be without CWB Chicago. I want you all to subscribe to it right now. Retired judge gets probation for stealing nearly $250,000 from elderly Tuskegee Airmen. You know what that is? That's code for war hero. This man was a war hero. Yeah, black war hero. She's a black judge. And she apparently used her connections, family connections, to get power of attorney over him. And then that's when she stole, not allegedly, according, she was convicted of stealing his money. How does that work, Judge? I mean, Jeff?
I don't think I'll be judge in this case. Yeah, this is wild. CWB lays it out that this judge who... But what's her full name? Let's lay her out here, John. Patricia Martin.
Her name is Patricia Martin. Yeah, Patricia Martin. Patricia Martin, 66, received 4 years of probation after pleading guilty to theft of $100,000 to $500,000, according to court records. But if you plead guilty to something, usually there's a deal. So that means you don't have to plead guilty to everything you took.
Right.
Just some of it. And then the other thing is the judge ordered her, a judge in the case, ordered her to pay $122,000 in restitution and comply with standard probation conditions that include random drug testing. My question, what'd she spend the old man's money on?
Well, I mean, in these cases, I'm sure there is probably some... personal enhancements. It's cars, plastic surgery,
Bentleys,
crypto, apparently, because it's, once it's gone.
Caribbean vacations.
Yeah, it's wild. And so the judge and, retired is the headline there. But the judge retired in 2020, and it sounds like...
When the heat was on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It sounds like this had already been discovered. It had already been... brought to light. It had been going on for a while. She was taking money out of this guy's account, and then it sounds like in a civil suit was brought against her, which she didn't show up for. So they defaulted a $1.1 million judgment against her. So she's now, on probation and owes millions, almost millions of dollars. I mean, I don't know, John. This is a wild story, and it's only because the CWB. Which does such a great job of sifting through court records and finding, what's really going on in our judicial system. And you're right, John. I mean, it reeks of Chicago Way being.
Oh man, come on! It comes
a democratic judge who is head of child and protective services retires, and all. Then they go all of a sudden they're on probation, and because you know if she had gotten found guilty while seated, she would lose pension privileges.
If she's guilty of this, and she's a child protective services judge deciding divorces and custody battles. I mean, you take a little bit here. Did you take a little bit there? I mean, and on the top side of it is we have Teresa Maria Gonzalez. Remember her?
Oh, yes. A name that John, I think, and I support you in this, that you were going to mention every week because it's such an egregious
she was
freaking
the
thing.
Gonzalez was the judge that allowed Lawrence Reed to walk free after the state's attorney was begging her, please don't let this man out. He's a danger. He's a danger to women. He's a danger to everybody.
He's a violent history, well documented in the courts.
Right. And what did she do? This judge says, I can't keep everyone in jail because the state's attorney wants me to. And then that guy gets on an L with a bottle of gasoline.
Yep, on the blue line.
And pours it over Bethany McGee,
mm-hmm.
and lights it on fire, burns her.
Yeah.
I had hoped to talk to the chief judge about this, but apparently, you know, he's busy right now, and I hope he reconsidered.
Well, I'd like to talk to the chief judge too, but I feel like if asking directly about this might jam the judge up just a little bit. You know, I don't know.
They can't comment on pending litigation, whatever that is.
Right. But at the same time, you know, having comments out there in the ether is never always a good idea.
You know, we need, but here's the thing. This is not to pick on this judge.
Yeah.
I'll pick on her.
Sure. Yeah.
Patricia Martin, but not the chief judge who replaced Tim Evans. I'm thinking about this poor guy. He's got a heavy load in front of him because he's trying to reform the chief judge's office. Tim Evans let it. Tim Evans didn't do a damn thing. All you could see all the electronic monitoring devices didn't work or they didn't care to work.
I know. I can't get over that, John. I can't get over. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago with the retired chief and he explaining how Cook County has Metro Police. We've got Forest Preserve Park Police. We've got University Police here and Medical District Police there. What we don't have anyone on any of our trains that are dedicated all the time showing up on our blue lines and our CTA and any of that. No, can't have a police force to do that. Or how about this? Chase down guys who are on ankle monitors, not following the rules and doing exactly what it is. It drives me nuts, John. I haven't stopped thinking about that since then.
The fact that they put these thugs on ankle monitoring and you know they're going to hurt
people. Everybody knows there's no enforcement on these things.
Right. There's no enforcement and they're left. They don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Now these guys, Oscar Wilkerson, I'm looking at his picture, old man standing, sitting straight up in his chair, 95 years old. He's not now since deceased. And I'm seeing an old man who has pride in his eyes of who he is. He's not like some slack jawed old man waiting to die. He's alive. His eyes are shiny and bright. And I see an inset in CWB photography of how he was like when he was a pilot in the Tuskegee Airmen. And then I think of Bethany McGee lit on fire and this judge robbing him. How many people have been robbed, have been beaten, have been stolen from by the system that allows such thuggery and anarchy and theft to continue and the city goes to hell? But at least there's people, there are good people. I just, you know, that's why I think I'm glad that we have Pastor Brooks coming on.
Yeah, Pastor Brooks, somebody who's grew up in the city, is in the most dangerous part of this city, and planted a flag and said, hey, let's start fixing the problem in Ground Zero, and is building a community center that, as far as we all reporting so far tells, is on the path and does great work. I mean, God forbid the future and some knucklehead gets a hold of his organization and then things go to crap. But that, you know, the future you can't prove, or you can't predict, rather. But as far as we know, Pastor Brooks is doing an incredible thing in the city where it needs to be done. And now he's walking across the country, starting in New York, all the way out to L.A. Said it's going to take him a little over a year, I think. And he's walking to raise money to finish this community center that is, you know, almost, I think he's at 70%. Funded.
He's got bad feet.
Yeah, he's got bad feet.
Surgery on his foot. He's still stumping along. And yeah. God bless him. I'm giving him credit because, you know, he gives us something besides all his good work. With all these, like, the judges that we're talking about, mm-hmm. these crooks and idiots like Brandon Johnson and Tony Preckwinkle and all these people manipulating the system. He gives us a corner of our mind where we can have him there, you know, thinking yeah. good thoughts, doing good work for people that he doesn't know and people he does right. know. And it's a blessing, you know, for all of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's also got some insider knowledge. Apparently he ran into Daly.
Richard
M. And also Rauner, I think he mentioned, it was in there as well. Bruce Rauner. And they had their take on Brandon Johnson is pretty priceless. So
yeah, I'd like to hear that. And I can't wait to hear that part of the interview. You've met our friends at Crippy Coffee. It's the good cup of coffee that you want. And now's the time to go to cribbycoffee.com and put your order in for Christmas. They deliver it to your house the way you want it ground. That's KRIBICoffee.com. Get your orders in by December 15th. Check out Cribby's great selection of coffees, including the perfect holiday gifts for that coffee drinking friend or loved one. I've tried the Holiday Cheers blend, and it's the perfect roast. Or go for the Holiday Trio, a tasty sampler. Whatever you do, make sure you get your order in now for Christmas at Cribby Coffee, where you can pick your roast ground your way and sent to your home. That's KRIBICoffee.com, where I fill my fashionable black and gold Mutza mug, which also makes a nice gift. For all your holiday coffee needs, go to cribbycoffee.com. Proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. Well, as promised, our guest today is Pastor Corey Brooks, the Southside minister, activist, who's compelled with a bold community vision, according to the Chicago Crusader, and I agree. Pastor, how are those feet holding up in your walk across America?
Well, they're holding up. I got a little heel problem on my right foot, but eventually I'm going to have some surgery on it. But right now I'm still walking and still trying to make it happen.
It's an incredible feat, Pastor Brooks. Thanks for joining us. Always good to have you. I got a couple of questions, my stock questions for you, but I will get to those.
Okay.
But I love this project you're doing. You know, you're walking across the entire country. It's going to take you like a year and some change to do this.
Yeah. So we started on September the 1st, and it looks like we're going to end September 19th of 2026.
That's awesome.
It's just a little over a year it's going to take us to get to L.A.
Are you going to go up over the Rocky Mountains? That's what I'm worried about.
No, actually, we're going south. We decided that, you know, we didn't want to deal with the winter of the Midwest. So we're going southern. So we're headed from Charlotte to North Carolina right now to Atlanta, Georgia. And from Atlanta, we'll cross over and start going west.
Well, Pastor, I'm going to request two things. One, Jeff loves restaurant reviews, and you're going to be walking. And so you might stop and find some good sandwich places and let us know. And the second thing is, how can we help your effort?
So, first of all, I am running into some great restaurants. That's a good thing. And
you can walk it off.
Right? Exactly. Some excellent food. So I'm really appreciating that. It's a great opportunity to you know, taste a lot of different great things.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to the Southern cuisine, you know.
You know, have you had a really good meal yet? I mean, something you're...
Oh, definitely. We had some barbecue from a place in, I think it was Cary, North Carolina. And it was, when I say it was outright awesome, it was awesome. I had a turkey leg and... Man, it was really good. But the other guys had brisket and, you know, traditional barbecue, and they loved it. So, yeah, we've had some great food. And then, you know,
what kind of sauce?
It was like a sweet, tangy sauce. It wasn't too harsh.
Vinegar based.
Yeah. It wasn't too harsh. It was a sweet base. It was pretty good. And, you know, of course, I'm not supposed to be eating this stuff, but those desserts are phenomenal. So
don't tell the doctor.
The desserts are phenomenal. But along with that, you know, we're meeting a lot of people as we walk across the country, and we're, you know, we were in Pennsylvania and we had an opportunity to visit one of the oldest markets in America. Wow. That's still there to the day that they still come together on in Lancaster. That was phenomenal. We had an opportunity to go to Philadelphia, and I wrote a good story about what's going on in Kensington with the drugs and all of that. And after my article, a week later, the government came in and really tried to clean that area up. So I appreciate that. And then, you know, of course, so
Josh Shapiro read you.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. So according to, you know, Trump, the national government came in. Yeah, they came into Kensington and tried to clean it up. So no thanks to Josh Shapiro at all.
Let me ask you, Pastor, as you, I'm thinking of from a news point of view, Jeff and I, you know, we're out in North South Carolina or wherever, and somebody says, there's a news bulletin. The pastor is coming. Chicago pastor is walking across America. And of course, we'd show up there with our microphones to interview you. But we would also ask you questions about Chicago. What are you learning from news people about their perceptions of Chicago?
Yeah, they're always asking me about the violence in Chicago. There's not a time that goes by that someone asks me about Chicago that they're not asking about the violence. The second probably question that they probably ask about is how are people dealing with ICE being in Chicago when they were here and the government bringing in the National Guard? How do people respond to that? And how do, you know, that's another popular question. And then thirdly, a lot of people are always asking what I think about the mayor. So those three questions are pretty much the three lead questions that I get from reporters who are asking me questions about Chicago.
What are your answers to those questions? I'm curious. Oh.
So, you know, my first answer when I talk about the violence, I try to tell them the truth. You know, the crime, the shootings are down. However, we still outnumber Los Angeles and New York, and we still have an abundance of violent crimes being committed in these same areas. So even though the murders and shootings are down, it's still a very, very serious problem. The second thing I talk about is that there are a lot of people in our neighborhood who appreciate the fact that ICE came in and that they were getting rid of some of the criminal element. You know, we understand that there are people who are here who hopefully can get a path to citizenship, but those need to be individuals who have not committed crimes and who are not trying to commit crimes in America. Just last night, I was at an event held by Governor Rauner. It was just him getting some of his friends together. And I met a guy there who works for 911. And he was telling me about a South American gang that's doing house burglaries all over the suburb. And, yeah. And, you know, so we need to get rid of those criminal elements that have come in illegally and so that we don't have to deal with those type of situations. And then thirdly, you know, when people ask me about the mayor, I just tell them he's a one-term mayor and he's a joke. I tell them that every time something happens, he blames it on racism and President Trump. But people with intelligence can see right through that you're scapegoating and that it's nothing more than a fraud, an opportunity to try to hold someone else responsible for your negligence. And so I tell them the truth that our mayor is not a very good mayor at all. And he's a puppet of the teachers union. And that's the way it is.
Whoa. Well, cold, but true. You know, I can't deny it.
Certainly. No arguments here. It's funny because that was my stock question for you, Pastor, because every time we have you on, and I always thank you for that, is that the question is, when was the last time the mayor of Chicago, and in the past it's been Lori Lightfoot, and before that it was Rahm Emanuel. And I said, well, how often has the mayor of Chicago talked to you, reached out to about anything you're doing, which as far as I can tell is all positive and community building and actually getting things done?
You know, at that same event last night that I was at, Mayor Daley was there. And
how's he looking, Rich?
He's looking good. He's still taking care of himself, still walking around by himself. I couldn't believe he was by himself at the event. Mm. I walked into his car. Someone picked him up, but I was amazed that he didn't have any security. He was just by himself. And you would not even recognize him if you didn't know. If you didn't know him really well, because he had on when he was leaving, he just had on a regular, he just looked like a regular old Chicago citizen. But I had some great conversation with him. But one of the things that I mentioned to him is that even when I was first getting started and I wasn't even well known, there was a pastor that called Mayor Daley on my behalf. And Mayor Daley, I remember, called me, and I was like, man, the mayor is calling me. And no one knew me. I was just an upstart. And he told me he wanted me to come to the office because he heard I had some problems. And I went to his office, told him my situation, and he couldn't believe it. He helped me immediately, and I mean immediately. And I thought, man, how far we've gone down since then. Mm-hmm. There's no way I could believe that a mayor would do that now, because they don't have the regard toward individuals to be concerned about what's going on in their lives. And so, no, the answer to that question, as far as me talking to present day mayors, is does not happen. I've talked to the mayor one time in his office, told him my concerns, told him what I was doing. He said that they would help. They never did. But it's okay, because that's how government responds sometimes. But we're building a $47 million center on the south side of Chicago in one of the toughest areas in Chicago. And you would think that the mayor would have at least visited. You would think that he would have at least sent his staff. You would think that he would at least try to figure out a way to help. But that has not been the case. But that's the type of mayor we have. He wants to talk about racism. He wants to talk about Donald Trump. But he doesn't want to talk about any positive things that are being done by a Black conservative on the south side of Chicago.
Unfortunately, you are a Black conservative. And may I ask, I am a white conservative, or some say green or olive green conservative. But listen, your mistake was that you did not put your center in a Latino area.
Yeah.
Because in my view, the hard left that Brandon Johnson represents is all about promoting the interests of the migrant over the resident.
For sure.
Am I being unfair?
No, you know, they spent billions of dollars on illegal immigrants, and right. Those are funds and things that could have gone toward helping us to fix some of the problems that we're dealing with in our neighborhoods, like building centers like the one we're building on the south side of Chicago, or helping other individuals. But that's the type of mayor that we deal with, and that's the type of situation that we're constantly faced with. But there are a lot of people who are very upset about the fact that those funds continue to go toward individuals that we think should not be having them.
The title of the project, Project Hood, Helping Others Obtain Destiny.
Yes.
So how can people listening help you?
So we're building a $47 million center on the south side of Chicago, and we definitely need lots of help. We're trying to pay for it debt-free. We owe about $7 million on it. Hopefully we can get it done by June. And we love for people, if they can, to give us a donation of time, of treasure, and talent. You know, if they want to donate, they can go to projecthood.org, projecthood.org, and help us out. We really desperately need the help.
Christmas is coming, and I hope you get a few Christmas gifts from the people of Chicago, because you're doing the Lord's work there.
Yeah, a subscription to John Cass News and a donation to Project Hood is a great gift if you're...
Absolutely, that's a great gift.
I'd rather have people give to you, to Project Hood, to the kids there, not me. John Cass News is okay.
Well, you know, if you're being extra generous this year, yeah, if you want to keep it forward. But Pastor, before we let you go, I want to ask this question. Why do you think that is, that you used to get mayor, you have old Mayor Daley talking to you, and not old Mayor Daley, but you, Mayor Daley talking to you, and you're getting nothing from this? And my theory is it's the us versus them with this, with that crowd, with the far left.
I am totally against a lot of the things that they say and do, and I speak about it. I'm not afraid about it. I think that scares them. And so as a result, the last thing they want to do is help some guy that they feel as is totally contrary to their belief system. So, but I'm thankful that God has sent people like you and John Cass and others who understand how important the work is and why it's needed. So I thank God for all my friends from across the country who have said, you know what, he's not depending on government, but we're going to make sure that we help him, we help his community, and that we help transform it. So I'm really appreciative of that.
I'm reading some of the wonderful reviews that you get, and one came in from Candace Lampkin, and she says, "The jump camp was a blessing for my family. The instructors were so nice, and the location has so much to offer the community. I will be back and spread the word." What is Jump Camp?
So Jump Camp was an event that they had for the kids, younger ones. And then for the older individuals, they provided entrepreneurship learning and financial literacy learning for those who are adults. And so it's just one of the many programs that we have to help people to transform their lives, because we really believe that we have to create opportunities and that we have to allow people to take responsibility for themselves. And if we're going to do that, we have to provide meaningful, authentic, excellent programs. And that's exactly what we do. So that's just one of the many programs that we offer to help people to transform their lives.
It's great. John and I talk about all the time, the schools, you know, are lacking in producing and enriching kids at the level they should be. And you guys are filling that gap. And it's not like you're doing it from the outside in. You're in the dead center, ground zero for some of the areas where Chicago has the worst problems.
The worst block in the city.
Right. O block. Right. I mean, it's terrible. And I don't mean to make light of it, but it's amazing that you're on the ground. You're there. You're doing the work. And I just, you can't be supported enough. So hats off to you, sir.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thanks for your support. And thanks for all your listeners. And that support as well. We really appreciate it.
Listen, everybody, go to projecthood.org. Give them a donation. And John Cass and Jeff Carlin will bless you. Okay. All right. Thanks, Pastor.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Watch those feet now. And I want some reviews. Okay.
Absolutely. I'm going to send you some.
Get some pictures too.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Good luck.
For Pastor Corey Brooks, founder of Project Hood. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio. Friend of cats, baker of pies. Not for me, though. And for me, John Cass, editor of John Cass News, we always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Only $50 a year. And two fresh new columns by me and some from some of Chicago's best writers. It's a bargain at any price. Join us again next time, won't you? On the Chicago Way podcast. On WGN Plus.